B-Pod Studios.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Any VOD sports hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 985 The Sports Hub. The Bruins will have fans tonight. Nick will be out there.
Yep, and so will Xanadu. He has been tweeting all morning. There's never been a happier gentleman than Mr. Xanadu. The guy is jacked. I think Bruins Luchador also was able to get himself one of the 2,000 tickets to be in there. So watch on television. You might see some familiar faces.
Yeah, people should be, I would imagine, real lubed up tonight. Because it's a celebration.
It's a long time coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to have a playoff game atmosphere. I mean, people, and it's like when Vice went to where the nuclear reactor went off in Russia.
Chernobyl,
and they were told to get drunk before they go in. So that's my advice to you if you're going into the garden tonight.
Oh, because they're playing the Islanders, is that what you're saying?
No, because, well, that too. It's going to be boring. But also because of COVID. You got to get drunk. Your body is more resistant to COVID if you're intoxicated. Everyone knows that.
Well, this is going to be it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't mind talking tomorrow morning. Well, we got Nick out there. He can ask them about all this, about, you know, all the procedures and protocols when you get in there.
Nah. But that's I don't want to hear about that. I just want to hear drunks enjoying themselves again out in the town. That's what I want to hear.
That would be nice.
Screw the procedures. I want to just hear people having a good time. So if you're going out tonight, let's get back to the roaring 20s when Prohibition ended. We've essentially had a prohibition here, and now you're back out.
383 days from the last time there were fans in the building for
the Bruins government game. Is finally loosening the strings a little bit, and you can I expect everyone to be out there enjoying themselves. I expect happy drunks. That's what I would like to hear.
Bruins Luchador just tweeted that his tickets got postponed. He's back April 1st.
That's too bad.
Oh, sorry, man. It's not going to be the same without you.
Yeah. Though someone else will have to dress up. Another grown man will have to dress up in Bruins gear.
By the way, speaking of stadiums, I don't mean to sidetrack, but I was ready to talk about this to kind of make fun of Dan Roach and how excited he is, but I just saw pictures of the new Polar Park, you know, where the WooSox, the Worcester team's going to play. All I can say is, they've successfully polished a turd. This thing looks nice.
I agree.
Right in the middle of Worcester. Like, I saw it. It has to be.
Yeah, if you're going to get the AAA affiliate and you're going to, for the Red Sox,
dude,
you're
going to
build
awesome.
A new stadium, it better be.
Oh, yeah. And the area that they have not finished that's around it is going to be unbelievable. Like, I mean, all the different stores and restaurants. Yeah,
that's the thing they did. It's not a standalone. It's part of a larger shopping complex.
Dude, it's all. I mean, that might be one of the smartest things that Worcester has done because, I mean, obviously the reputation precedes itself. But my God, that area looks. They have successfully polished a turd.
I mean, if you're going to get the Public Works project and you're going to build that state and you're going to vie for that building, you got to do it up.
Yeah, awesome spot.
It's 2021. It's not 1975. I mean, back in 1975, you could just put some concrete monstrosity up. Now you got to make something that's decent. I mean, even college ballparks got to be decent now. If you're building something and you're using, I don't know, I believe they probably use public money. If you're using public money, you better put something up there.
No question.
At least to make people believe for a year that you did something with their money that was good.
Yeah. I hate to say it, massive upgrade. I've only been to one game where it used to be down in Providence. I only went to one
Pawtucket,
game.
Pawtucket.
Yeah, Pawtucket, not Providence. Yeah, Pawtucket, sorry. I don't mean to piss off.
Well, when they build the Pawtucket, when they build the stadium in Pawtucket.
Mid-70s.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be a dump. I mean, nothing was built in the 70s. Can we think of anything that was built in the 70s in terms of a stadium or a arena that was good?
Yeah, they built McCoy Stadium is legit right in the middle of a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not an industrial area. It's not, well, the industrial is next to it, but I mean, the point is it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. So,
I mean, yeah, all
not
the
a standalone with like shopping plazas anything near it.
Riverfront Stadium was a dump. Three Rivers Stadium was a dump. The Vet was a dump.
Yep.
I mean, they're all dumps. Everything, the Astrodome was a dump. Everything that they built back then was crap, and everything they've built since about 1990 has been good. As soon as they built the park in Baltimore, yep. everyone had to get it together.
Worcester's going to be great. You can go to a game of Polar Park and then catch a metal show that's not allowed to play in Boston over at the Palladium.
That's right.
And you got your night all carved out. You know how many metal shows? Being a metal fan, it pisses you off living in Boston because for some reason, none of the bands go to Boston. They all play the Palladium in Worcester. And I'm like, all right, and if you're an Insane Clown Posse fan, my God, you're never going to sniff anywhere around here. You got to go to Worcester for them sons of bitches.
They play that arena in Worcester.
Yep. The DCU Center?
DCU Center is where they get it. Yeah, all the shows for garbage people get played at the DCU Center.
Don't you say that. Zach Wilde has not played in Boston in about 20 years. So, I mean, he's always stopping in Worcester.
Yeah.
Clutch? No, you're never going to see them. They're all in Worcester.
So I'm listening to that WRIF's in Detroit podcast, and one of the things that's a point of pride is that Jay Giles, like, recently did three nights in an arena in Detroit.
Wallach would have gone all three
I would have gone. Yeah. Hell yeah, I would have gone.
Well, listen, love stinks. All right.
Play Freeze Frame again.
Freeze Frame's a good song. Centerfold's a good song. And then there's everything else.
Just Can't Wait, Love Stinks, no?
Yeah, Love Stinks is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Love Stinks. Yeah. And also their live blues jams are really something to behold. All right. I told you I got these tweets that Hardy, I guess, talks about poorly about me often. But I don't know about what. There's a litany of things he could.
And usually, though, he'll walk in here and tell you these things to your face.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with him making fun of me. I make fun of people for a living. I'd be disingenuous if I was going to get angry at him. But, Rich, I think that we might have some fun with this because I have an inclination of what happened, and they were pretty proud of themselves yesterday.
Okay.
And I think you might know why. Because they got a certain friendship.
Oh, they
somehow cracked the code to get that guy, Kyle Van Noy, to self-promote himself.
So Sarge called in?
Yeah, Sarge called in from Utah or wherever the hell he was.
Uh-huh.
He was in town. I think he visited to do like the kind of PR thing. He did something with the Patriots.
Highlights Magazine, Cat Fancy. He was everywhere.
Sure.
All right. He's on the cover of Rolling Stone this week. All right, here we go. Here is the Zolak and Bertrand show and what they had to say.
Felger and Mom.
Oh, Fred was not...
Fred was hammered him, too.
Overwhelmed with the reacquisition of Kyle Van Noy.
Oh, is that right?
I think Fred called him like a fraud, too. Like one of those... Like,
just,
yeah,
I don't know.
Who does he think he is?
Yeah, like too much hype. Whatever. It's fun. All the hype videos. Why not?
Fred's been going after Adam 12, too.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fred's like turned into the
what is going
anti-
on with
Dale
that?
Carnegie.
I don't know. He's trying to like take the bait or something. Like I guess Adam posts a lot on his church website. They have these like spaghetti dinners and that, like fundraisers.
Okay.
And Fred said that's for like homeless and poor people.
That's right.
And
spaghetti is food for homeless people.
For homeless people.
All right. First of all, Hardy would never go to one of those dinners. And second of all, the idea that Hardy is being so disingenuous to think that it's fun. It's fun. You know Hardy off the air. Is he the kind of guy to go, oh, come on, it's fun?
No.
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 Not at
He's
all.
He's dry.
He's 180 degrees in the other direction.
He is protecting his buddy.
Yep.
They actually think they're cool because they got a relationship with this douche.
Oh, I'm already in shoes. Oh, my goodness.
Passmation. I'm back. Let's get it.
If you think I'm sarcastic, you think that I'm Hardy off the air is 1,000 times more sarcastic. And he would, if Cal Van Noy wasn't calling into that show, and for some reason they think it's great that he does.
He's a good guest. In fairness, he's a good guest.
He's a good guest for all the wrong reasons, though. He's a good guest because he is in love with himself. He has some idea that he's going to be famous. He's even, it's a little more pathetic than Edelman. But I mean, he's got, they get a kick, that Kyle Van Noy's calling, and congratulations. All right, it continues.
Like, Fred's such a, he's so high up there that he doesn't eat spaghetti anymore.
Oh! Zolak! Zolak, who won't show up for under $5,000, Zolak? Zolak at a church dinner. Okay, you hypocritical pricks. Oh, that is the end of the world. Scott Zolak. Okay, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
How much to get Scott Zolak to go to your church dinner? How much money to pay Scott Zolak to go to your church dinner?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's
thousands and thousands of dollars. The idea that that guy would. He's an everyman, all right, sure. Wait, he's at the company retreat getting paid to talk to the investors in the new retail operation? Get out of here. Oh, you phony. Oh, please. Yeah, Fred's too good for it. Oh, you're not, Scott. No, not at all. Scott won't. Scott makes fun of me for doing appearances for less than $5,000. Get out of here. Oh, please. Why don't you go to another craft party where the Rolling Stones play in front of 5 80-year-olds? I mean, come on. Get out of here with your private planes. Please. Oh, every man Scott Zolak just walking around. Do another corporate retreat. Oh, you know, am I lying, Rich?
No. If there's anybody who needs to like not feign that they aren't above all of that, it's Scott Zolak.
Get out of here. Who's more likely to go to a church supper? And I won't. Me, by a million. You think his ass is going in there? Oh, please. Oh, now I've heard it all. Hardy being Mr. Oh, it's fun is the phoniest crap. Agree?
Agree.
That he's the most sarcastic, calling out mother ever in the world.
That's very true.
And Zolak, now we've tripped into the Twilight Zone. If he's pretending, get out of here. Get out of here. When was the last time he had a cocktail that wasn't for free at a steakhouse? At least I was going to dive bars and stuff. Please, get out of here. When was the last time you went to a game that wasn't in a suite? Which is perfectly fine.
Sony makes a great point. Zolak's never taken the subway.
That's true.
In Boston, he's never taken the subway.
Yeah.
He won't do it, which is fine, and I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it's funny. But don't turn around and get on me, church supper my ass. Everyone around here all of a sudden is Adam Twelve. Get out of here. Every man. Oh, what a phony. Please. And why pretend? Like it's so bad. You wouldn't go. Who cares?
I didn't hear this. I want to hear this now.
It's been going back and forth, and they were supposed to have Adam Twelve on today, and he didn't do the thing, and I was like, hey, Fred's hammering you again, man. And he said, yeah, then he goes skiing like with his family and like in his highfalutin skiing after they eat their cheap meal and like throw it in the church's face. And I'm like, what?
What are you talking about?
How do you tie the skiing to the spaghetti?
What am I talking about? He's eating free meals at the church and then going around and going on ski vacations. What you can't connect the dots? What are you, stupid? You might not like what I'm saying, but it makes sense. It's not hard to figure out. He's spending money doing one thing with his family, and he's taking free food for the church. The two things are different. You would think if someone was relying on the church for food, they wouldn't have money to go skiing with their family. What do they take? They take amnesia pills before all of this? But the everyman, the non-sarcastic everyman that never talked poorly about anyone. No. Who talks poorly about more people at this radio station than anyone else? He's on in the middays. And I love him. And I love it about him. It's fun. He's fun to talk to. But come on.
Fred, who says he's never had a cheeseburger.
I haven't.
And also doesn't,
have you seen Fred's
really? Doesn't know what sloppy joes are. He would never feed his kids sloppy joes because that's like poor people food. I'm like, kids love sloppy joes.
If you
joes.
Ever feed
What's wrong with
my
a sloppy
kid
joe?
Would,
What's
my...
wrong with poor people food? Some of it's not so terrible.
You ever eat Spam?
No, neither of you, Scott. But the thing is poor people food. Now we're in a whole different thing. I'm talking about church food for free.
You wouldn't feed your kids sloppy joes? That's new.
Sure, I would.
Yeah.
I don't know if I might have said I wouldn't, but I would. Uh-huh. That I do. I don't know this whole poor people food. I mean, I eat like garbage. I mean, look at me. I eat like crap. What do you think I'm eating? What do you think about? Especially when I'm not drinking. What do you think? I'm going to go out pay $400 for a meal without drinking? Get out of here. All right. Well, listen. We found out a little bit about the midday show. They're everymen.
People's champ, Scott Zolak.
Hardy is very open and kind and very upfront.
It's a lot of fun.
And doesn't hide behind a veneer of sarcasm at all. And by the way, I love Hardy, and I love that about his personality. And I like him on the air for that personality, but I like how with Kyle Van Noy, it's cool. No, none of it's bad. No, that's not corny at all. No, no. And he wouldn't think it's corny at all. And Scott just texted me. He said $3,500 to go to the church.
At least he's honest.
And again, I love Scott, and I would do the same thing if I could get all the free stuff he does. But and do all the corporate gigs that he does, I'd do it too.
But
and
own it.
They don't want me. But let's not pretend. Let's really not pretend. I don't have access to have, and I wish I did, and I'd take advantage of it too. I mean, the guy played in the NFL. That opens a lot of doors for you and people. And he's a much better public speaker than I am. But, I mean, yeah, I would love it if corporations paid me $5,000 to go out there and talk for, 15 minutes. I'd love it. I'd love it if I could go out to steakhouses and they opened the door and said, congratulations, Fred Toucher, we love that you're here. What would you like? I'd love it all, and I'd take advantage of it all. But don't pretend you don't. I mean, you do. Scott wouldn't set foot, let alone into a church. Scott wouldn't set foot into a Scott at a spaghetti dinner at a church, please. Come on. Anyway. There you go. That's funny. All right. And Adam and I are very good friends, but I don't respect anything that he does. All right. We'll be back. We'll be joined by Jay King. He will join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Clock rolling with a minute 19 to go. 121-119. Kemba moving to his right. Lobs it down low. Tice catches in a lot of traffic. Shuffles it back out to Smart. Open three. Short front iron. Rebound. Loose on the floor. Middleton wins the foot race. Here we go. Marcus Smart again. Inbounds to the corner. Tice for the game. No good. And the Celtics beaten at the buzzer. Daniel Tice got a clean look from the right corner and hit the back iron. The Celtics come from 25 down to give themselves a chance in their final at bat. Final score, Milwaukee 121, Boston 119.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. It is NBA trade deadline day, and most of these days go by for Celtics fans without, which I consider myself a Celtics fan, would go by without a thing. They go by, it's been since Isaiah Thomas, I believe, that a trade deadline deal has been made by the Celtics.
And you know, Fred, this is a discussion that I know we've been having over the past couple of weeks. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago whether they needed to make a trade at the trade deadline, I would have said absolutely still in this. And then over the last couple of weeks, I've gone, they're not worth investing in. Maybe you save that value. And you know what, Fred? Screw it. I just want them to do something now. Now I'm just, they got to inject something to shake this up.
I have a feeling that they will do something.
It seems like it.
Jay King covers the Celtics for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hotline Jay, hello.
How are you guys?
Doing good. You got a busy day ahead of you. I'm sure you were up last night. It's got to be tough with Twitter. You got to be the first guy to report on all this crap. But all right. So I was overheard something on ESPN yesterday where I haven't heard this before. You think it's going to go somewhere, but then it doesn't go the way you think. Is that teams are now getting a little fed up with dealing with Danny Ainge because he doesn't pull the trigger, that they'll get, this is from one of the experts at ESPN, that he'll get close to something, teams will believe that they have something, and then at the last minute, Danny will pull out. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have.
But I don't know if it's necessarily the way he operates or just that for a long time he was the guy with all the draft capital and all the big trade chips, and he was involved in all the conversations. So I'm not sure if that's a him thing or just kind of an outcome of the circumstances. But yes, I have heard that.
Okay, so conceivably he's been close to deals before when he had all this draft capital. When you look back, do you think that he should have actually followed through with some of this stuff? They'd be in a better position today if he did, or do you like the way that he's done his business?
I mean, obviously you look at 2 years ago, and they had Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier all coming off the bench. And so there's been a talent departure over the last couple of years, and I think it's safe to say that he's squandered some opportunities. I'm not sure it was necessarily the chances that he didn't take, because if you look back at all the big names they were involved in, it would have been Paul George, it would have been Jimmy Butler, and you would have been giving up Jaylen Brown, or you would have been giving up Jason Tatum, and really those are the two prizes right now. And so I think where things started to go wrong was when they traded for Kyrie, and I think even that is very defensible, because they gave up Isaiah Thomas, who at that point was injured and never really played great again, and Jay Crowder, who was fine but not an extreme difference maker, and the number 8 pick. And so, but, you know, Kyrie doesn't work out. He then contributes to the discontent with Al Horford, who walks. Then Gordon Hayward becomes the fourth option, and he's not happy in that, and he walks. And so now, you know, the Celtics are left without as much talent and with a need to upgrade on the fringes and in the depth chart to even have a chance to compete with this roster.
All right, Jay, so you are putting your life savings on the line right now. If you had to bet at all, how does today end up for the Boston Celtics?
I think they make a trade. I think the last month, 2 months, they've just been playing lifeless basketball. I think they need an infusion. They need an infusion of energy. They need an infusion of talent. And I think Danny's got to decide, is this team capable of competing? And I think it's fair for him to believe they are, with the right talent around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart. I think, you know, that group really made the Eastern Conference Finals last year without Gordon Hayward because he was hurt. And you look at it now and things have gone really wrong and there have been injuries and the depth chart isn't as good. And I'm sure it's been a trying season for everyone.
So who's the guy? Who out of all the ones that are out there, who's the guy that you think they're going, or guys that they end up with by the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you hear about Aaron Gordon, you hear about Harrison Barnes. I think the one move that keeps getting talked about is Gordon. And here's the thing, like, I think Gordon could be very helpful in the right situation. And I think he has parts of his game that have been untapped, and I think he's a very versatile defender and he can really pass for someone his position. I don't know if he's the piece the Celtics need, but if they do believe that Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown can win together, then they need to improve the rest of the depth chart. It's just not good enough.
All right, Jay, how big of a deal do you personally think Danny Ainge needs to make, whether it be here at the deadline or in the offseason with the trade exception? Because the more I watch this team, the more convinced I am that they've squeezed all the water out of the towel. I mean, they've gone about as far as they can with the group they have and need a major change.
Yeah, and if you think back to the beginning of his tenure, right, one of the first things he did was he came in and he traded an all-star in Antoine Walker, because he thought that team was not good enough to win a title. And so you have to wonder if he'll go back to that feeling. And with Antoine, it was different. He didn't acquire Antoine. He obviously, like, didn't think that Paul Pierce and Antoine were enough. And they didn't have enough talent around those guys that the Celtics, I think, do now with Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart. But You know, if he doesn't believe they're capable of a title, then he's going to have to retool. And they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown under contract for a while. Those are your two prizes. What are you going to do around them? And I think it's fair for Danny Ainge to, or it's fair to wonder whether Danny Ainge is going to go all in with this roster or make some tweaks to this roster and try to compete now. And then, you know, when Kemba Walker's deal is up in a couple of years, then you have some flexibility and can go after somebody really difference making. Or, you know, does he start to strip things down before then and try to load up on more draft assets and things that he can trade to try to upgrade around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum before. So I think, you know, those are the things he has to think about and the directions that he has to consider because, you know, sitting two games under 500, you can't be comfortable with where the franchise is right now.
All right, Jay, so the one name that is being thrown about, even though apparently the Celtics have been denying it and there's been reports that his name hasn't been brought up into any of these trades, but Marcus Smart, that's the one that you keep on hearing coming up. I know that apparently Atlanta covets him. They liked him. I don't think that trade's going to happen, but you know, I'm looking at Marcus Smart as a player, and, you know, it's the weird thing that we've been dealing with for years now. Like, last night kind of was a perfect encapsulation. There was a video that went viral about, you know, him and Tice getting in a heated exchange, but what it looked like was him and, you know, he was obviously being passionate, and you know what? And by the way, it ended with a pat on the back and a fist bump, so it wasn't a fight, but immediately afterwards, that's when they started to go on that 25-point run. So you're like, okay, that's the Marcus Smart that we kind of like the myth of Marcus Smart, the legend of Marcus Smart. Look what he did. But then at the end of games, I don't think there's a player in the NBA who makes worse basketball decisions than Marcus Smart, at least as of late. I mean, and I saw Himmelsbach this morning come out with a stat that should be more surprising than it is, but he's shooting 8% from three right now. I mean, at the end of games, he's 2 for 25 apparently in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's, you saw it last night, how awful he can be when he needs to be at least somewhat valuable on the court because they give him so many minutes now. What do you think the injury would be if they ended up trading him away? Just, are we overrating his value on this team?
I don't think so. I think if anything, they need more guys who really care. This team has not had that fire. They've not had the response when they lose games, and they've lost repeatedly. They've lost because of the same issues, and they haven't had that. And it's weird, and it's very strange. You know, early in Brad Stevens' tenure, you had Jay Crowder getting pissed off every time the Celtics lost. I remember Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they played, I think it was like Jordan Mickey or something, and he's like, game 63, we're experimenting with lineups, and he was all pissed off and kind of even fought back against Brad. And Brad liked that because those guys cared. And this team, for whatever reason, hasn't had that same passion, hasn't had that same energy. I think Marcus Smart is very important. I think his passing is very important. I think his defense is very important. I think, you know, if he has the right pieces, if they have the right pieces, then he's going to really help. But I'm sure it's been a trying season for him, too. You know, he's a guy who hates to lose. Here they are, 21-23, sitting in the eighth spot, lined up for the play-in game. So,
however, in the right deal, would you trade him to retool this franchise?
Yeah, and that's another part of the long-term discussion too. Like, do you
for Aaron Gordon, would you trade him? Let's get specific, because that's the guy who's got the most smoke right now. For Aaron Gordon, yeah, would you put him in as one of the pieces?
I don't think Aaron Gordon is like this great player. I think he's good. I think he can help. But I wouldn't like load up, and I think if you can get Aaron Gordon without touching the core, that's awesome. Like, he'll help, he'll give them size, more athleticism, a piece that probably hasn't been unlocked to its potential in Orlando. But if you give up Marcus Smart and get Aaron Gordon, then how much of a difference have you really made to a team that's under 500 right now? And I think, you know, that should be part of it when the Celtics think about things this afternoon.
Well, if they do it, it shows that the people that matter on the team have had it with Marcus Smart, in my opinion. I mean, if they make that move, like you said, it's not like a massive upgrade in talent. I think Marcus is completely out of control offensively. He just, I don't know if he'll ever get it. I don't think he'll ever have that part of his game. But I do think that, and because I obviously have no idea, you just hear.
See, if they don't like Marcus Smart, then that's something wrong with them. And I know that that doesn't make things easier, but I mean, at
leadership
least
is very difficult. Leadership is very difficult.
And I just want being the loudest like gives a rat's ass. Like
you
a,
do
a
as a fan,
Morris,
you do know? As a fan. But just because you're the loudest and you're saying the right things doesn't mean that you're a good leader. It could, I mean, again, this can all come off, and I'm speculating, and I don't know if any of this is true. I'm just going by what I've read. If the, by a certain people, not by everyone, and not by Jay King, is that, but if you are rubbing up people the wrong way, a lot of times that vocal leadership can come off as self-aggrandizing and putting yourself...
There's an expiration date on it. So, yes. Jay, real quick, do you think that Marcus Smart's type of leadership has an expiration date on it?
No, I don't. I think he's the type of guy that has an energy to him every day that is very infectious. And I, honestly, like if you can't appreciate Marcus Smart's energy, it probably says more about you than it says about you.
Okay. That's what I think. But, I mean, unfortunately, there's two players in this team that Danny's not going to want to get rid of, and all that seems to matter is whether they can click with those two guys.
Well, some people
and,
made
and
the...
I'm with you, Jay. I think that it's you need more of that type of guy, but if it's not clicking with the two guys Danny's not getting rid of, then who knows?
This isn't me saying it, but people did react to that. A couple people reacted to that video you put up, Rich, and saying Tatum just walks away.
He does, yeah. No, so, I did see that.
I mean, if we really wanted to become high school, middle school girls about this, I mean, maybe Tatum didn't like what he was saying. And I don't know. But I mean,
I don't want him to trade Marcus either. But
I'm just telling you that I know people like that, and a lot of times that, and I've been in, you know, group work, school, team situations with people like that, and a lot of times. It came off to me like you're acting like you're above all of us. You're looking like you're better than all of us, and it can come off as being self-aggrandizing. But listen, people are way closer to the team than I am. I have no idea what's going on. Just talking to Danny, Jay King. Well, congratulations. You're going to have a lot to do today. Never say you're bored.
Don't sleep.
It'll be fun.
All right. So hopefully they do something because I'm with you. They got to do something. They got to do something.
At first I was like maybe they could sit in their hands, and now I'm just at the point where it's never too early to shake things up.
Yeah. Do anything big necessarily.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't have to be something massive. Just something.
Yeah.
Right
bring
now.
Someone in. Bring in an old guy if you have to. All right, Jay. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. That's the interesting storyline. If they've gotten sick of Marcus Smart,
I don't believe that for a second. Okay. There's been other than that one thing that was put out, and I thought it was very vague. You and I disagree on how direct it was, an indictment of Marcus Smart. But I mean, all we've heard from other players is how much they love that guy. And he's the senior guy. It's not like he just showed up and is like, all right, here's the way it is. He's the senior on that team. He's been there longer than anybody.
That doesn't matter.
And usually when that happens, when you come into an organization and that guy's always been there, it's not this dude's being too much of a hardo type of deal.
And you know what? If they trade him, you can't replace it. You can't replace what you lose.
That might be true, and they might not trade him, and he might be the greatest leader ever. At the same point, the guy who said that he might not be right for this team was saying if he went to a veteran-laden championship team that he would fit in better. I think insinuating, if he was with someone like a LeBron, that he would fit in perfectly with LeBron. Just maybe this isn't the personality for him, but just being around a long time, that can be a negative too. Because like John said, the message can get old. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, Jaylen Brown was on Twitter fighting back against some of the reporting and some of the commentary on the team do you think your team has any chemistry issues beyond what are normal issues in any given year for a team?
Oh, no. I don't even know what you're talking about. What was he fighting back on?
Well, it's been suggested that there are teammates that have not gotten along with Tristan Thompson and that there's been a divide in the locker room, and Jalen has fought back against that, saying this is not true, that is not the case, and everything
good
is fine.
Good for Jalen. I agree with Jalen. Last week I was going to Indiana, according to everybody, right?
Right.
So I don't know where that came from or whatever the case may be, but Tristan's been a – good teammate, a good guy, like all that stuff. That's disappointing to hear that something like that would be out there.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Of course, that's Brad Stevens on Zolak and Bertrand. The Zolak and Bertrand show featuring the very earnest and good-natured Hardy and the everyman Scott Zolak, who
trying to have some fun.
Who are just trying to have fun and having go to church dinners and stuff and all that. He hung up. I was going to take that phone call. You got to babysit these kids.
All right, you think so, I was wrong about Marcus Smart?
I wanted to hear why.
Hear what he had to say. So where we're sitting right now, and you know, all the talking heads are coming out and saying what they've heard and what they've done, and there's obviously some that are more trustworthy than others, but Aaron Gordon seems to be the guy, and that's the one where there's the most smoke, and to be quite honest, that's the one that I'm least excited about. I kind of feel what Jay King is saying. I don't know if that moves the needle enough. I want an interjection of some sort of new blood in this team, something to shake it up. But to be quite honest, I don't think he's that guy. But what we are seeing is a fairly interesting kind of dynamic here, because yesterday it sounded like Marcus Smart was in every deal. Like every deal that was out there, Marcus Smart was he's the player that, you know, that's going to be included in the whole thing to make it work. And now we're hearing, according to Mark Murphy from the Herald, as well as Adam Himmelsbach from the Globe, is that the Celtics are saying, nope, hands off Marcus Smart. His name's never even been mentioned. He's not a negotiating chip, no matter what you throw out there. And listen, this is the season where stuff like this comes out, whether it's real or it is the Celtics posturing in order to try to get more value out of it. Oh, you really want Marcus Smart? Well, then you need to give us this. That's one thing or the other. But I just don't feel I don't feel that he's the problem. He's the problem at ends of games, and that's a coaching issue. That's they got to figure out. They got to get in his head. He can't be the guy with the ball in his hands when the game is on the line like it was last night, as much as it was. And when to have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown only touch the ball after that three that Jaylen chucked up there with, I think, a minute and a half left.
It's more than 2 minutes to go.
Okay, yeah. So he chucks up that three. After that, Jaylen Brown got one rebound, and that's the only time that the two of those guys, your two all-stars, touched the ball.
Well, Marcus Smart is also the only guy who played the entire fourth quarter.
But that's not – see, I don't think that's a negative.
Well, he's out of control offensively. And if you want to make it a coaching issue, then don't put him in at the end of the game.
He's always been out of control offensively.
His offensive game, he is so out of control.
He hasn't changed a bit.
He looks like a kid playing basketball.
He's played that way the entire time he's been here.
Which is not good.
Fred, they kept him in the entire fourth quarter. What happened in that fourth quarter, Fred?
They came back and lost.
Yeah, but they came back by 25, and once again, that is the huge paradox that is Marcus Smart. He yells at his team, yell at him, but he gets fired up on the sidelines. They end up coming back after that by 25. He's in there during almost that entire time, and then at the end of the game, they trust him to make a good offensive play, and it's garbage.
No, he's not going to. All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, it's like, I've been watching all these games, and at the end of the game, can we just have one of our best players take the last shot, like for once? Like Kemba, Jason, Jalen, anybody but Marcus.
And all three of them cannot.
I have a barn.
All three of them
touch the ball.
All three of them cannot be double teamed. That I can assure you.
I didn't even mind Tice getting the last shot.
Well, Tice was so wide open.
He's like driving to the rim. He's doing 360s. He's like chucking stuff.
Well, that's Marcus Smart.
Nothing good.
No, Marcus Smart, he looks like a 13-year-old on a fast break.
We've had Danny Ainge on many years. Brad Stevens has been on this radio station many years, and the Marcus Smart question seems to come up at least once or twice a year. And Rich, you can back me up on this. Mm-hmm. They always say that's part of Marcus. And Danny Ainge specifically had said, yeah, you know, that's part of Marcus's game. He's very aggressive on the offensive end. That's how Danny has described it.
He's out of control.
But this is part of the package, and I wouldn't change a thing. This is Danny saying it, and he said it to us more than once over the years.
Look at Chris Middleton play last night.
Yeah.
I love Chris Middleton. Okay. I love him. He's probably
he's an all-star and an elite offensive player.
Okay, so, most underrated player in the NBA. Never gets the credit he should.
Yes, we all like him. So he sees Kemba's on him, takes Kemba off the dribble, pull up in the lane. And now look at Marcus Smart with the ball in his hand. He's out of control. I mean, he's completely out of control. He has no finesse to his game. The idea that he's played basketball is like, and that he's come up with like literally no offensive move. He's the anti Kevin McHale.
I don't know what to tell you.
Kevin McHale had honed these brilliant post moves.
That Marcus's offensive game is not going to change. Is part of it. He's in his late 20s. This is it. What you see is what you get, and it shouldn't be a shock.
Kids learn to play defense because you can make an awful lot of money just having you can tell. I mean, he never will. He never will. He's completely out of control.
You know what, too? I think another problem is with this team, when you take a look at why this year is different than other years, isn't this the first year where Tatum and Brown are the guys? Like, they're your guys. Like, Gordon Hayward was there for a while.
They always had another star, yeah.
They're the guys. What does their personality say to you? What do you know about their personality?
Well, we've said it a million times on this show, is they're not killers.
They're not only are they not killers, they're fairly laid back. They're not like the kind of guys that are motivators.
Which makes me think that, again, this Marcus Smart stuff might be rubbing off the wrong way.
Well, and I think that's a Jalen and Jason problem. But what it says to me, though, is that maybe, just maybe, we might have to press the red button if this continues to go on, maybe through the rest of the season to the offseason. And what I mean by that is, and we've discussed this a little bit, is the whole Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce situation.
Oh, I've said to move Jalen Brown forever.
If you've got, well, first of all, I think
let someone else think he's the next great player, because he's not. So, in my opinion, so let someone else take him.
I think he's a great number two.
I think he's a number three. And I think he's a very athletic player. I think that he's turned himself into a very good shooter. But he is not, to me, a elite NBA player.
I think he is a number two. I think he's an all-star. But having said all, we're going to disagree on this. Yeah. But having said all of that, if Celtic fans, if there are any Celtic fans that agree with you, Rich, and you want to hit the eject button, again, I will remind Celtic fans.
You get a ton for him. We have to break.
You will, but you're going to take a step back. Well, and be prepared.
I don't know that, because I think that you can get. I think you can get better.
Yep.
I think you can get
after
better.
A year or two.
No, I think you can get better immediately.
You're going to get an elite. You're going to get an all-star in return for Jalen Brown.
Yes, you will.
I think that he's completely overrated in the league, and I think that you would get a better player in return for him. I think you could work a deal where you get better dealing Jalen Brown. You get better right away. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.